Then they will, which makes me wonder, at least in the short term, whether trains really are the future that we thought they were. So what should we do? Should we keep on with HS2? Should we scrap it? Do trains, do you think, have a big future? Or are we, in fact, going to stop commuting anyway? 0345 6060 973. What's your view of this? And joining us first is Bruce Williamson, who's from the campaign group Rail Future. Hello, Bruce.
Good evening, Clive.
Thank you very much for joining us.
You've given us plenty to think about that, plenty of food for thought.
But what do you think?
Obviously, well, I mean, our organisation, as you said, is called Rail Future, and there's quite a big clue in the name there.
Yeah, so you're going to tell me there is a future.
Well, indeed I am, yeah. I mean, I think we do in all of this, even under normal circumstances, I would advocate taking a very long-term view when it comes to rail issues. Now, hopefully, I think inevitably this whole COVID-19 thingy is going to blow over in a year or two, and hopefully life will get more or less back to normal. I mean, there is an argument that says things will never be quite the same again. But I think, you know, the demand for travel will always be there. And from an environmental point of view and from various other practical point of views, we need a decent railway network to allow people to do that.
And we had these Crossrail figures, no surprise really, but delayed again over budget. Why has that one gone wrong?
Well, oh dear, heavy sigh. It's one of those things, I think, with a massive infrastructure project, which I think I'm right in saying is the largest infrastructure project in Europe at the moment. I think with the best will in the world, you know, things are going to go wrong from time to time, and there will be overspend and unforeseen circumstances. It is a bit frustrating and depressing for the rail industry that this happens, you know, again and again and again. Believe it or not, there are examples of rail projects that do come in on time and under budget. And I think I'm right in saying that the original High Speed 1, the Channel Tunnel Rail Link, was one example of that. So, you know, sometimes the rail industry is capable of getting it right. And let's not forget, too, if we were talking about a major road scheme or a major airport or God knows what, you know, the cost overruns happen there. It's not unique to the rail industry.
Why do we need Crossrail in particular then? It's a huge project, as you say, biggest in Europe. Is it going to be worth it? What does it give us?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah. In the long run, you know, the tubes are bursting at the seams. The rail network as a whole is bursting at the seams. And this capacity is desperately needed. I think, you know, in 2 or 3 years' time when it's up and running and things are back to normal and the trains are running and they're full and people are finding the convenience of travelling across London west to east with a reasonably sort of fast train, you know, people will wonder how they manage without it. But yeah, I suppose now it's hard to see that.
Well, this is the trouble, isn't it? That the trains are, a lot of them are half empty. People don't want to travel into places like London at the moment. The city and the West End are still fairly deserted. I mean, that may remain. It's possible this new normal will actually be the new normal and we won't need all these trains.
Well, I think, it's, you know, what's the old saying? Was it Mark Twain said predictions are particularly hard to make, especially about the future? But, I mean, you know, no one can say for definite. But I think, you know, as I said earlier on, I think we can be confident that the coronavirus thing will blow over at some point. We'll find a cure or it'll, you know, everyone will die or whatever. And then, you know, you have to look at changing work patterns. Now, I don't deny for a second that things will never be quite the same again. I think even before this coronavirus thing, you know, we were talking about, was it 0 hours contracts and working patterns were changing.
Yeah.
But, you know, Zoom and Skype has been around for a long, long time. And yet, actually, working patterns have been quite resistant to this.
But I do wonder whether people are going to change now that they've been forced to do it. I mean, I know people who would never, ever have done online shopping, and now they won't go back to normal shopping.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And that's why I say things will never be quite the same again. But, you know, people do like to get out and about, and people do like to sort of socialise in the office around the water cooler. People, you know, who are sort of stuck in the spare bedroom looking at a computer screen, I think, you know, want to get away from the screaming kids. So there's another point as well, actually. If you look at rail travel generally over the last 20 years or so, passenger numbers have just gone up and up and up. You know, they've doubled in 20 years. And so those underlying forces that are encouraging people to travel by rail more and more and more, I think they aren't going to go away. So again, you know, I started off by saying, let's talk about a long-term picture here. This is, you know, it's a very large blip, but it is a blip. And I think, you know, in the longer term, passenger numbers will continue to rise again.
What about the dreaded HS2, though? That is so much money, and the public really doesn't seem convinced by it.
Well, no, I have reservations about the cost of it. But if and when things go back to normal, we will have a capacity problem on the railways. The railways are bursting at the seams, and there is no do nothing option. I think the coronavirus thing has given us a breathing space, so perhaps the need for it isn't as urgent now as it was a year ago, or it will be in 2 years. It's sort of delayed the urgency of needing HS2. But I think, you know, we desperately need that extra rail capacity, and if it isn't HS2, it's something else. You know, we can argue about whether HS2 is the best way to deliver that
extra
capacity. Well,
what about that? Because there are, and I'm seeing some tweets and emails coming in already on this from people who are just not convinced and saying, well, take some of that money and just spend it on the railways anyway. But it doesn't have to be super fast. Improve what we've got, or build another line just like we've got already.
Yeah, the super fast bit is a bit of a red herring in a way. There's a few bogus arguments that people put up against HS2, like saying, well, it's not worth that money to shave a few minutes off the trip to Birmingham. No, it isn't. That's not what it's for. It's about capacity. So if you don't build HS2, what do you do instead? Well, you know, expanding an existing railway. Bear in mind, a few years ago, I think we spent $8 billion on upgrading the West Coast Main Line. And it's very, very disruptive, and it doesn't deliver that sort of step change in capacity that we need. You know, if we upgrade the existing lines, we'll have to keep upgrading them year after year after year, because we will never meet that demand. Now, people who would argue, why aren't we spending the money on, you know, improvements to local services, relieving overcrowding on cross country? You know, I think I agree with you. It shouldn't be seen as an either or thing. We need to continue improving our existing railways, and we need that extra capacity to meet future demand.
And in terms of HS2, maybe you can answer this one from Simon in Woking, who says, why not do something 21st century, like a Hyperloop? Lead the world in new technology instead of lagging behind with old technology.
Well, Hyperloop is I don't want to sort of be dismissive. Well, I do, actually, in a way.
Be dismissive.
It would be a bit unfair to say it's pie in the sky. You know, there are some serious suggestions for other things. But, you know, it is unproven technology. And the other key point is this, that, you know, if you have something like a monorail or a Hyperloop or a maglev, it's a standalone system that isn't compatible with the rest of the network. Whereas with HS2, you can run trains up HS2 and then continue onto the existing line. So we want a rail network which, as a whole, is integrated and flexible and doesn't use, you know, different technologies on different lines, because that makes, you know, that makes for a nightmare. That goes back to the days of, you know, the gauge wars, when we had broad gauge on the Great Western and what was then called narrow gauge on the Midland Main Line, or whatever, you know. And then it required the government to force them to make the trains compatible with each other's on different lines, and we want to keep that.
But £100 billion, the public don't support this. It's just too much money.
I agree it's a lot of money, and I do have, you know, I feel uncomfortable about these price rises that we see again and again. Politically, I think it's too far down the line. I think, you know, so much political capital, as well as, you know, financial capital, has been invested in it, that it would be a massive U-turn for the government, and they don't have a plan B. So if they, you know, if they cancelled HS2, what are they going to do instead? They don't have an answer, so they'll plow ahead with it.
And one other thing, just away from HS2, where we are now with the rail is a very peculiar situation, because they can't make any money. It feels like it's almost has been renationalised. Do you feel that whatever happens now, we won't go back to exactly the same kind of privatised, franchised system that we had before?
Yeah, I'm certain we won't. You know, I don't have any secret inside knowledge on that. But there was very much a feeling that franchising in its current form, well, its recent form, it's not current anymore, wasn't working. And we've had this emergency change where the train operating companies are running on a fixed price contract. And where we have previously had that sort of scheme, some people call it a concession. I think TfL works for that. I think Merseyrail worked on that basis. Generally, the evidence was that it seemed to work better. So I think, you know, the government really have been sort of handed a gift in their lap. They've sort of got rid of franchising. The current system is working fine. Thank you very much. Let's continue with that.
Great to talk to you, Bruce. Thank you very much indeed for that. 0345 6060973. That was Bruce Williamson from the campaign group Rail Future. So does rail have a future? Should HS2...